This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم وملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأثم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذي بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا اللهم اجعلنا من أصحاب العدل يا أرحم الراحمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله آمين يا رب العالمين Today inshallah ta'ala I'd like to share with you just a few lessons and reflections from just one ayah of Surah An-Nisa. A very comprehensive and a very powerful ayah in the life of a Muslim. There are some places in the Quran where Allah just says one thing but it can overshadow your entire life. And it's something you can't stop but think about in pretty much every activity, every matter, every issue that's going on in my life and that's going on in your life. It's a Madani surah, which means that the audience is predominantly the Muslims themselves. As opposed to a Makki surah where the predominant, the primary audience are non-Muslims. So the message is one of da'wah to those who don't believe. The majority of the people that were listening to the Qur'an were people that were not Muslims. But in the Madani Qur'an, the majority of the people that were listening were the Muslims themselves. And the exception to that is when Allah would preface His statements with Ya Ahlul Kitab. You know, with the people of the book. Or Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Kafaru, even in one case. But typically, Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing the Muslims. And this is important to note because when Muslims are being addressed, these are people that have been seasoned into Islam and they are students of the Qur'an, some of them for now well over a decade. And even those that aren't have been exposed to a great deal of the message of Islam. But yet there are some things that are so fundamental and so easily forgotten that Allah Azza wa Jal highlights them and He emphasizes them as though it's the first time you're hearing it. So the ayah begins, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ No doubt about it, Allah is the one commanding you. And again, I mentioned this is Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa from the very beginning has commandments. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ even from the beginning. Then ayat about inheritance law. Those are also ahkam, those are rules and regulations. Do this and don't do this. Give this proportion to this one and that proportion to that one. There are all these commandments given. But you don't begin the surah by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَنْ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ Allah is commanding you that you should have taqwa. The command itself is a command. You don't have to say it on top of that He's commanding you. But in this particular ayah, Allah, it's like He starts from the beginning And he says, there's no doubt about it. You better get clear about this, that the command that's coming, every time it's supposed to be applied, remember, it's not the person you're dealing with in front of, it's Allah you're dealing with. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ Allah is in fact the one commanding you. The point is that this particular verdict, the instruction Allah will give us in this ayah, requires that you remember Allah immediately, as soon as it's about to be applied. It's not one of those commandments that you can just do. You have to be overly conscious of the existence of Allah and of the authority of Allah over you and myself. This is إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ What could be such a command? That before Allah even told us the command, He's prefaced it again, never forget it, Allah's place in this command particularly. أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا That you give all the trusts, and we'll talk about amanat in a little bit, you give all the trusts to those who deserve them. All the obligations you have towards somebody else, you fulfill them fully to those who are rightful of them. So let's talk a little bit about amana. Amana is easily translated as a trust, but it comes from the word aman in Arabic, which means safety. It comes from safety. When you give someone a loan, or you say, for example, you're leaving town and you give your friend your house keys, and you say, listen, just come in every once in a while, check my mail. And listen, just, you know, just make sure that, you know, everything's running okay. But I'm leaving my keys and my car keys and my house keys with you. You would not do that with just anybody. You would have to have a relationship of trust in order for you to give your keys over to someone like that. You've given them an amana because you feel a sense of aman towards them. So you feel a sense that they will not violate your trust. And you can feel safe. Your belongings can feel safe with them. That's when you would hand an amana. Now the idea of an amana is not just when someone trusts you with something, but also when you and I are entrusted with some things. Allah has trusted us with some things. Your family trusted you with some things. Your parents trusted you with some things. So before we move further, we have to understand how does it apply to us? Not just the abstract example of someone leaving their house. But for example, the young people here whose parents have given them a car, their parents gave them an amana. They trusted them with a car. They trusted they won't speed on the highway. They trusted they won't cut a red light. They trusted they're not going to go to some party. They trusted they're not going to have all kinds of shady friends in the car with them. There's a trust between parent and child. Look, I trust you, here's the car. They're not going to monitor you. There's not going to be some tracking device in your car. It's a trust that's been handed to you. The same is the example of an employer, a boss, who hires somebody to do work. The boss is not always going to stand behind your shoulder checking whether you're doing your job or not. He trusts you. He gave you the task, you should get it done. And you're left to your own devices. The boss is in a meeting somewhere, whether you should do work or chill out and watch YouTube videos or take a break for 2 hours, and that's all up to you. That's all up to you. Some of you are here obviously from work. So your boss, your employer, whoever they may be, you told them, look, Friday I need extra time. I need to pray. But maybe this break, all you needed was an hour, hour and a half. Maybe that's all you needed, but you take your sweet 3 hours, and you say it's a religious reason. So you get out of here, then you go way over to your favorite restaurant, sit and talk, finish your food, chit-chat a little more, I got some time. Because I've already told my boss, Friday I need some time because of my religion. So he's not going to say anything. You know what? This is a violation of trust. This is what Allah is saying. You have to fulfill the trust to those who deserve them. You can't be dishonest in the things you claim. You can't be dishonest in the things you claim. And you cannot take advantage of the things that have been given to you and the things that have been given to me wrongfully. Children violate trust of parents. And sometimes parents violate the trust of children. This is amana ila ahliha. This is the first problem that's mentioned in this ayah. And by the way, most of the time, this ayah will be applied not inside the masjid. Not while you're making salat, not while you're praying, not while you're listening to a lecture. This ayah you will have to apply, I will have to apply when we're driving on the road, when we're dealing with family, when we're dealing with co-workers, when we're dealing with friends. That is when this ayah comes to life, and that's when Allah is saying, remember, it's Allah who's telling you, take your break early and get back to work. Remember, Allah is telling you, slow the car down. Remember, I mean, some parents, for example, give their kids allowance, some money on a weekly basis. How they spend that money is a matter of trust. Whether you're going to go use a fake ID to buy a beer, Are you going to use that money to buy, you know, get something legitimate for yourself? That's a matter of trust. That's between, and that's the time to know who's, you know, who learns Islam just as a bunch of things that we know or some du'as that we recite, but Islam actually runs in our veins. This is actually something we live. That's when it's tested, you know. This is أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, but the ayah isn't done. And actually most of my time in the khutbah today I wanted to spend on the second item. And the second item is وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. When you make judgment between people, when you judge between people, and Allah did not say if you judge between people. He didn't say إِن حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. He said إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, which means it's inevitable. Inevitably, you will be in a position where you will have to figure out a dispute between two people. You will be in a position where you have to judge who gets what. You will be in a position where you have to say the right thing or the wrong thing. It's not just for people who are sitting in a judge, you know, in a judge's chair in a courtroom. It's for all of us, even the kids here. Your friends got into a fight. This one said this, that one said that, that one said that. And they say, hey, what do you think? What do you think? Even at a playground. إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. In your homes. Some of you, for example, you have multiple children. We're Muslims, so generally we have lots of kids, right? So you have a lot of kids, and some of your kids are a little hyperactive, so they get in trouble a lot. Right? And they've gotten in trouble the last 4 or 5 times, so what do? The next time a glass breaks, the next time you see a mark on the wall, you don't have to know who did it, you just automatically, hey, come here. What did you do? I didn't do, I was sleeping. No, you weren't sleeping. Tell me the truth. And you get mad at, you know, this is not fairness. You already assumed them to be guilty. And you could say, and I can say to myself, hey, I know my kids, I know who did this. I already got it. But you know what? They have to feel also that not only the judge has to be fair, but the one being judged also has to know judge justice was used. This is why حَكَمْتُمْ إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Whenever you make judgments between people, أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. This word is really important. And تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ, that you judge with عَدْلِ. Now عَدْلِ in Arabic can easily be translated as justice. So can قِسْط. So can قِسْط. But the word عَدْلِ is powerful. First of all, it's the opposite of unfairness, الجور, ضد الجور. But also, one of the interesting meanings of عَدْلِ in Arabic is مَقْنَعْ وَرِضًا فِي الشَّهَادَةِ. When someone says something and it's absolutely convincing, and anybody who heard it is happy with the verdict. In other words, even the guy that's guilty says, you know, I can't complain, that was a fair verdict. So when you and I as parents, or as employers, or as teachers, we punish or we judge, but the people that we judge say, oh, that's not fair. That wasn't fair. You're not being right. It's not right. When they feel that way, then we haven't done adl. We haven't done adl. Adl actually necessitates, from the language perspective, transparency. You know, some of you are into watching like court TV. You know, when they finish the verdict and they come out and they ask each side, so what do you think? Well, I'm really happy I got my $100. And the one says, that was totally unfair. But a adil, a judge who's adil, everybody will come out. The guy who won the case will say it was fair, and the guy who lost the case will say, you know, it was fair. That's adil. And Allah says that's what you have to exercise. It's particularly hard, for example, for teachers. You know, and a teacher deals with students every single day. Same people every day. And there are some students who always have the homework on time. They always get a good score on the test. They always raise their hand for the answer. They're always there early to school. Never get in trouble. So the teacher starts getting a little soft towards those students. And then there's the student who walks in late every day. Homework is always a mess. He doesn't know if it's English or Chinese he wrote on the homework. You know. The kid's shirt is always tucked out. He's always talking to somebody else in class, etc., etc. And over time, not the first day, not the second day, a couple of weeks go by and the teacher starts just getting agitated by this other kid. So that he just walks into class and the teacher's in a bad mood. He just looks at his face and he's in a bad mood. Maybe you were one of those kids when you were in school. But you know what, a teacher who's adil will not use what his previous experience to judge what's going to happen today. Every day, clean slate, everybody will be treated equally, and that's the other meaning of adil. The other meaning of adil is actually taswiya, to make something equal. يعني عادل بين شيئين سوى بينهما, they say in Arabic. When you do adil between two things, it means you considered them equal. You did not weigh one thing better than the other. As a parent, you did not play favorites among your children. As an employer, you did not treat one employee nicer than the other because of their gender. or because of the color of their skin, or because of their accent, or because of the language they came from. And it goes back even further, just talking about employment. Some of you, for example, are human resource managers. You know, your job is to hire people. So you say, hey, let me call in my cousin. Let me hire only the Muslims. You should hire a Muslim. You know, you're working at Verizon, or you're working at IBM, or you're working at some company, like, I should only hire Muslims. This is not adl. You were given this responsibility not so you hire Muslims, you were given this responsibility so you hire people that are qualified for this job. Don't think you're doing the deen a favor. You're not. Our deen does not condone injustice in any way, shape or form. Whoever is qualified, you're looking at them whether you like them or not, whether you're personally in favor of them or not. You know, that's not the point. You were given a trust. You were given a responsibility to hire people based on certain criteria. And your employer trusts you. So then you say to yourself, well, everybody else uses their connections. So we should use our connections too. Use your connections if it's fair. If the person that you're going to hire really does have the credentials, really does have the qualifications, and genuinely nobody else has better qualifications, then fine. Otherwise, you and I are going to stand in front of Allah and we're going to have to justify why we did that. I was a teacher one time in a college, long time ago. I used to teach Arabic at a college in New York. And mostly my students were non-Muslims. One time, there were two students in my class, they were Muslim. They were Muslim. The only student I failed in my class was the Muslim. And he was really upset. He called me after. Brother Noman, assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. I got my report card today. Yeah, you failed me. I said, yes, I did. It hurt me a lot. I failed you. He goes, but I'm Muslim. You passed all those kuffar and you failed me. I pray next to you at the masjid. I say salam to you every time you come into class. You know, our class used to be in the evening. I used to pray maghrib with him. Before the salat class, we used to pray maghrib together. And then we used to go to class. And you failed me? How could you do that to me? And I said, hey, you didn't do any homework. You didn't show up for any of the tests. You were barely in class. You used to pray salat with me and skip class after that. How am I supposed to pass you? You know, this is, and it's not just because of him. And I don't want to make an example out of him. But the point of it is, it's not whether we treat each other, you know, differently just because of we share a faith, or we go to the same masjid, or we're from the same town, or we have the same race, or we're from the same family. You know, none of those things are enough before Allah. That's why in the ayah doesn't even say, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. لا لا لا. إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. When you judge between people, you should be fair. All people. Allah didn't say Muslim people, be fair. Everybody else, دفع کرو کیا ضرورت ہے. Like, not like that. Who cares about them? It's not like that. We have to develop this mentality about dealing with each other with fairness. إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. You know, in our personal lives, especially in our personal lives, within our families, how you treat your wife, how you treat your in-laws, how your wife treats your parents. These are matters of justice. This is not just personal matters. Like nobody, Allah will ask us about each one of those relationships, whether we were fair or not. And I can tell you something for sure. We complain about political injustice. We complain about rulers that are unjust, governments that are unjust, bureaucracies that are unjust, police that are unjust. In so many parts of the world, right? There's like police taking bribes, and judges that are paid off, and the government is working for the rich, and the poor just get, you know, slammed. That's all that happens all the time. Over and over and over again. And we're a lot better here in the West, but we're not that much better. This corruption also exists here. But you know where it starts? When you are okay with injustice inside your house, when you're okay with injustice among your friends, then it extends to a community. And from there it extends to a city, and it extends to a country. This disease starts with a small weed. It's a small little virus. It starts with individuals, and then it spreads. And it spreads in some Muslim countries. SubhanAllah, the situation is so bad, now even the Muslim, the good Muslim, the guy who prays five times a day, the guy who's got a beard, the guy who's planning to go to Hajj, even he says, what can you do? Everybody's doing it. What can you do, brother? I gotta take a bribe too, I gotta feed my kids. What can you do? I have to falsify the reports also. You know? Right, very recently in a few states in the United States, there was actually a report done about how principals of public schools are telling their teachers to pass children unfairly. Like they're not enough kids are passing. They're not able to pass the exam, so give them 50 extra points, give them 60 extra points, just pass them, just get them out of here. Graduate them. Because we're looking really bad. And you know, when the schools don't graduate enough kids, then that school has a lower rating. And when that school has a lower rating, the real estate in that area goes lower. And when the real estate goes lower, there are lower taxes generated. And lesser businesses come to that. So it's an entire industry, right? So you have, and it all comes down to how many kids are graduating. So they have to do this corruption to keep up the facade of, we have one of the highest rated schools in the county. You know? And then the teachers are doing it, and the teachers who refuse to do it get fired. You know, and they eventually just post their complaints on YouTube or whatever. But you know, this corruption's even here. This corruption's all around us. This may be a corruption inside your company. They're asking you, you're a consultant, they're asking you to sign off on papers. This project is gonna require 500 hours. You know it's gonna require 100 hours. You're falsely billing your client. You shouldn't stand for it. And you say, well, if I don't stand for it, they're going to fire me. Your rizq does not come from your employer. Rizq comes from Allah. When we don't learn to stand up for justice, we have no right to complain about the state of the ummah. No right. If we personally, in our own lives, if we don't stand up for justice, it isn't right. It isn't right what we do. I've heard about, I keep talking about Muslims across the Atlantic. What about us over here? I met so many business owners. And people who work for Muslims. And they pay them differently. The guy is from Pakistan, the owner, the business owner is from Pakistan. His Pakistani employees get paid more. His African American employees get paid less. His Spanish employees get paid less. And they do the same work. Is that justice? You're going to be able to answer Allah with that? Subhanallah. How far we just think our deen just, these ayat of Quran just for barakah. We recite them and we go home. And we can live life the way we live life. We can do whatever we want with ourselves. We will not be getting away. إِذَا حَكَمْتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَى أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ. Again, from beginning to end. Allah doesn't even let the ayah end. He says again, how amazing the advice Allah is giving you. Are you listening? Are you even paying attention what Allah is saying? What an incredible bit of advice He just gave you. And now, even then the ayah is not done. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he concludes the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. No doubt Allah had always been listening, always been watching. What does that mean, listening and watching? You know, when people go to court, they testify. So the judge has to listen. The judge has to listen. But when they ask for evidence, they have to bring a witness who has what? Not listened, but he has seen. Right? So first, in judgment matters, first you listen to the testimony. But to verify if that's the truth or not, you have to bring in a witness. Now who's a witness? Somebody from the outside is a witness. And in other court matters, you can bring a fake witness. Yeah, I saw him. He didn't rob the bank. He was sleeping in my apartment building. I saw him that night. You know, he's safe. So you can bring a false witness, right? But when the court of Allah, who's listening? Allah is listening. And who's the witness? Allah is the witness. Where are you going to bring a witness from? How are you going to falsify a witness? Subhanallah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. This is what a perfect ending to the ayah about justice. You better act justly. Because when you and I stand in Allah's court, there's not going to be a way we get out of this. There's not going to be a way to wiggle out. This is in our family life. This is in our business life. And even as I conclude to you, even as our life, in our lives as citizens, and to أَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, if I don't care who is in the county, who's the chair of the school district, who's the board member at the masjid, who's the imam, I don't care about any of these positions, these are public positions. Any public position, within the masjid, outside the masjid, these are matters of public responsibility. The board members, the poor volunteers have to come and tell you, please, tomorrow we're having a shura meeting, and there's going to be an election, and there's some people that are, you know, vying for this position or that position, we're hoping that we pick the best person, please participate, 8 people show up. This is not to أَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. We have to participate. Because these are amanat, these positions are amana. And this masjid is your responsibility, every masjid in this country and anywhere else. The same thing for people who are in positions in any public sector. We have to be involved in that. Because we have to be able to say that we at least had our say in giving this position to those who are rightfully deserving. Who are more deserving than others. أَنْتُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That's very important. This personal responsibility in a community in which you live. It's not just, yeah, mashallah, we have food, we have house, we have car, life's good, who cares about anything else that happens outside? So long as I'm good, I don't care about anything else. This ayah is a negation of that. You have to be concerned with matters that are happening outside, that are happening in your community, that are happening beyond yourself. Subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us responsible believers and those that are able to take from the reflections of the Qur'an and bring that light of this book into their lives. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa khususan ala afdalihim wa khatamin nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استقيموا رحمكم الله Your phones should be silent, please. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون إن الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا كأنهم بنيان مرصوص الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين؟ فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين. فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون، الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, a few announcements. One is this Saturday, inshallah, Hajj seminar. Would